Good afternoon, and welcome to the conference call, HSH Nordbank Financial Results H1 2016. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. May I now hand you over to Mr. Ralph Löwe, the moderator?
Yes, thank you very much. Dear ladies and gentlemen, I also would like to welcome you to today's analyst and investor conference call of HSH Nordbank to lead you through the half year results 2016, which have been published this morning. As usual, you hopefully did find the investor presentation on our website. Our new CFO, Oliver Gantzke, will lead you through the presentation and will also be available for questions afterwards. Mr. Gantzke, please.
Yes, thanks, Ralph. Good afternoon from my side. As Ralph mentioned, I would like to present the first half results to you. Let me directly go to page seven, to page four. Would like to give you, before I get to the numbers in detail, provide you with some more information around the privatization process, where we stand with the several topics we're working on right now. As you are aware, we have finalized the 5 billion euro transaction of a shipping portfolio to the federal states. This transaction took place as of end of June 2016, and so far, the numbers we present to you already include this transaction. We are currently in the process of marketing the 3.2 market portfolio. We still intend to proceed with this transaction by mid of next year, with the first step starting 1.6 billion euro transaction starting already in the second half of 2016. The sales procedure itself is, as you know, driven by our owners, and you know, we are currently in the preparation phase. We believe that the process, the official sales process, will start beginning of 2017, with the objective to present a change in ownership beginning of 2018. Let me then go to page five, quickly provide you with some information about the impact of the 5 billion euro transaction to the federal state. I think we have achieved, by doing that, we have achieved major improvements in our structure, balance sheet, liquidity, capital structure. We have reduced the non-performing loan exposure to 16%, which is still high, very high. But we are working on a further decline of our NPE portfolio, both through the market transaction, but also through regular deleveraging activities. The US dollar portion of the balance sheet has been reduced by the transaction, and in so far, our sensitivity towards US dollar has been reduced significantly as well, both in terms of liquidity as well as in terms of our capital position. The CET1 ratio shows a very, very comfortable 13.5% as of end of June 2016. And what you can also see is that we achieved the communicated P&L relief through the transfer of material premium obligations to HoldCo. On page six, a little bit of outlook, what we are aiming for and what we are also presenting towards the privatization process. You will see a good performing core bank. with total income potential of 800 to 900 million euro, with a net income before tax of 200 to 300, return on equity of 10%. On the one hand side, on the other hand side, ongoing non-core activities in our restructuring unit or non-core bank with a very, very low income potential and with ongoing negative net income contributions and finally negative return on equities. Cost income ratio scheduled planned or plan is about 45%, and you know, we are going through ongoing restructuring processes, and we are on a good way basically to meet our targets there. Then let me get into the numbers on page, and I would like to start with the core bank activities. On page 8, total income increased by 31%, with net interest income also increased compared to the last to the first 6 months of 2015. Loan loss provisions with 56 million positive. I will provide you with information how we this result derived later on when we talk about the loan loss provision in our group financials. Cost income ratio at 35%. This is also a result of the very good total income situation. As I mentioned before, target cost income ratio is about 45%. Net income before taxes increased significantly compared to last year by 83% to 261 million, driven by our positive income development, but also driven by the loan loss provision relief presented on this page. The shipping portfolio, however, is still a burden, also for the core bank. You are aware that we still have a significant non-performing exposure, shipping exposure in the core bank, which is as shown here, still a burden for the for these activities. On page 9, summary of the corporate banking activities. On the new business line, you see that we have made good improvement compared to last year with 1.4 billion in new business, primarily driven by our energy and utilities and logistics and infrastructure activities. However, yes, you know that in Germany there is strong competition amongst German banks, also some international banks. You know, we are suffering from the low interest risk environment as others do, and margin situation could be better. But overall, we are above our plans, and we are optimistic that we will also see a good second half in this area. On page 10, you see the risk structure of the portfolio. It is healthy. The part which is not healthy is covered by the Sunrise guarantee. Page 11, we show the situation in our real estate business. We have very stable earnings contribution. We have a very good risk structure in this portfolio. Let me tell you something or explain to you the new business development. First half 2015 was driven by a very, very and above average new business development. You can see on the right-hand side that at the end of the year we had new business of 4.5 billion, so we slowed down the activities in the second half of last year. The first half was a good first half for our real estate business, and we are planning to end up in the region what we have achieved last year at around 4 to 4.5 billion. So everything is fine here. And as I said, also profit contribution is very good. Then the portfolio quality on page 12, it is a very good portfolio with a very low risk profile. Then page 13, you see the development of the shipping segment. The numbers we are presenting here is before the compensation effects of the guarantee. So if you would consider the guarantee compensation, we would have shown a positive result. Here we just provide you with the numbers before guarantee effects. Taking out the restructuring portfolio in the core bank, the result would have been something around 13 million minus. So you see that it is primarily driven by loan loss provisions out of the restructuring portfolio, this result. So and you can see this basically. We present this on page 14. The quality of the book could be better. High degree of non-performing loans. However, most of it guaranteed by the Sunrise guarantee. This is what we show you on page 15. So overall, 12.9 billion in shipping core bank, 3.9 non-performing, and of which is 3.4 billion covered by the guarantee. Overall coverage is 8.4 billion. So a significant portion is still covered, and so far, we, despite the quality of the portfolio, we feel comfortable at the moment. On page 16, we show you the situation in the shipping market. Charter rates are stagnating at a low level. Recovery is postponed, and if we see a recovery, it's not at high growth rates. So we also see a drop in second-hand prices. I mean, you're aware of the industry. We would wish it that it's better, but it isn't. And we have to be very careful, we are not over-optimistically for the next couple of 6 to 12 months concerning the development in the shipping market overall. That's maybe the summary of this slide. So then page 17, kind of summary of the new business activities as presented. Let me just quickly go through the right-hand side of this slide where you see a good distribution of exposure default from our client business with an increasing a growing part in real estate and corporate clients and a shrinking portion in the shipping business going forward. I think we mentioned it at the end of 2015. It was the first time that shipping was the smallest segment in the core bank, and we are working on further improving this. Our objective or our plan is basically to have a healthy shipping portfolio, something in the amount of 8 billion going forward as a midterm target. And then on page 18, we present to you the overall portfolio risk structure. I already mentioned it to you. It's a combination of all segments. I think what is important is on the right-hand side, where we present the non-performing exposure by by client division for the core bank. And you know, despite shipping, you could see that that we have a good NPE ratio of 3%, I think, which is in line with other banks in our peer group. Now we are coming to the restructuring unit on page 19. There you could say see the opposite. It's basically negative, and it will be negative in the future, as I pointed out before. However, we were able to reduce the assets by about 33%. So on the one hand side, through the transaction with our state owners, but on the other hand, through regular deleveraging of our book. On the right-hand side, you see a breakdown of the asset classes. We are further planning to reduce the assets, and we also will use the market portfolio transaction, but also other market situations to further deleverage this position. On page 20, just the details, we are comparing core bank and restructuring unit. You can see the sources of income and cost. If you have questions to this, please ask later on. Then I would like to move to our group result overall. Page 23, net income before tax 171 million, driven by the core bank activities. Last year's result were heavily impacted by these strange guarantee mechanism for additional premiums and so on and so forth. And so far, it's not 100% comparable. After tax, we are slightly above last year's results. Loan loss provisions. As I mentioned, overall 151 million plus, I will come later. I will explain this to you later when I talk explicitly about risk loan loss provisions. Then on page 24, overall new business 3.5 billion. As I said, this is driven by shipping on the one hand side. It is also driven by real estate. However, for the second half, we are optimistic to achieve more than that and to close the gap compared to last year. Then cost-income ratio, as I mentioned, in the group we are at 47%, so we are on target. Our risk-weighted assets declined through deleveraging activities to 34.5 billion, minus 8%, and which is important for a house like us, a very comfortable CET1 ratio of 13.5%, which is 1.2 percentage points higher than as the end of 2015. Page 25, total assets declined to 91 million. Leverage ratio, very comfortable, also compared to peers at 6.8%. Bail-in ratio, 11.6%, and a very stable liquidity ratios, LCR and NSFR, with 140% and 94% respectively. Interest income declined overall from 448 to 374. This is primarily a result of the deleveraging on the one hand side, but also the impact of the rating migration we see in the shipping portfolio. So once in default, we are not earning interest anymore. This is what you can see here. However, the net operating interest income generated by our core client business is good and is in line with our plans. Then on page 27, net commission income declined by 19%. This is due to less cross-selling of derivatives and loan commission from new business that was below plan. However, 82% of our commission income is derived primarily from the core bank activities, which is a good improvement compared to last year. So we are focusing on the right things here. And as I mentioned, you know, with higher new business activities in the second half, we hope that we can further improve our provision income. The net trading income is, as you know, we are not a trading house, so we are pretty much dependent on our client-driven capital markets business, but also we are dependent on valuation effects deriving from accounting issues, deriving from interest and FX movements. And given the very, very low, so we had a good client-related trading income on the one hand side. However, this was negatively overcompensated by relatively high negative results from valuation, deriving from valuation effects, which is related to the very low interest rate environment. And I think I believe this is something you have seen in the same way in other banks in the first half. Our net income from financial investment increased by 34%. There are two large positions. One is deriving from the sale of from securities, and on the one hand side, on the other hand side, we have, as other banks as well, we have seen write-ups on our HETA engagement. You know that we have 220 million in HETA securities, which, given the discussions in Austria, have increased their fair market value up to 85%. So we are basically showing a profit here. However, we have an opposite impact deriving from the compensation of the guarantee, because this is a guaranteed position, which we show in the loan loss provisions. On page 28, loan loss provisions, 151 million plus, again, something which you probably do not see that often in shipping banks these days. So why is that? The net the loan loss provision before the compensation effects basically is 520 million euros, of which about 300 million derived from the restructuring unit and 226 million from the core bank activities. On the next page, you can see that this 520 million is related to more than 600 million in shipping. And on the one hand side, and a relief or release of loan loss provisions in other segments such as real estate, energy, and our corporate clients business, which is a result of the very good economic situation in Germany. So then you have 60, I'm still on page 28, then you have a gross compensation of 670 million against that, and this is deriving from the compensation, but also from FX results, and also from the credit derivatives, which we have combined here in this position. So this is basically loan loss provision. Page 29, I already mentioned to you how the 520 million LLP before compensation is allocated to the different segments, more than 600 in shipping, in order also to further improve our coverage ratio in this difficult market situation. On page 30, you will find an analysis of our admin expenses. We are in a good way in further improving our cost position through restructuring measures. On the bottom of this page, you will find our result from restructuring, which is at almost minus 100 million. We used the good profit on income situation also to further increase the restructuring expense provisions in order to support our ongoing cost reduction programs. Page 32 is basically presenting, as always, the profile of our loan book and the coverage through Sunrise versus non-Sunrise, or the guaranteed and non-guaranteed part. I would like to move on to page 33, which presents to you the non-performing exposure by asset classes. As you can see, the NPE exposure is now 13.8%, 16% overall. On the right-hand side, you can see the allocation to core bank and restructuring unit activities. We are primarily also working on reducing the core bank part here, going on in order to present a healthy core bank going forward, also in the privatization process. Page 34, coverage ratio on the left-hand side, 48% coverage ratio, as already mentioned. I think interesting, like always, is the graph on the right-hand side, where you see a 1% non-performing exposure ratio for the new business, which we have written since 2011. The only segment which presents a higher ratio is the shipping market, whereas corporate clients, real estate clients show very, very good ratios, which underlines our very conservative risk approach in new business activities, which, by the way, we are not changing despite the fact that margin development and competition is high at the moment. So we are very careful with our activities, not doing mistakes like we see in the market, which other banks are basically doing with very shrinking net margins and gross margins. So we are very, very careful here in our new business activities going forward. Page 35 is just showing you the decline in our guarantee cost. This is a result of the discussions with the EU and a cumulative base premium paid since 2009 derived at 2.8 billion, a very high amount which we have basically contributed to the guarantor. Then on 36, this is important because it is showing you our capital basis with 13.5% at a currently comfortable level. We are presenting a bridge how we derived from 12.3 to 13.5. We have a RWA relief through our deleveraging, including the 5 billion transaction to the state owners. We have also retained earnings to strengthen our capital base. And then this is offset by small Basel III transitional arrangements. Again, this is a very good result position. So 37, another view on capital, both overall ratio and CET1 on the one hand side, and also on the other hand side, the decline in our banking book activities which shows the success in our deleveraging activities. 38, our bail-in ratio, as usually shown here. And then I would like to get your quick outlook for, you know, what we are expecting for year end. I think first of all, we have to see, you know, what the market environment. It is not easy, both in terms of, you know, competitive environment, liquidity situation in the market, interest rate environment, so on and so forth, plus the shipping development, which I have explicitly presented to you before. So we are in the process of structuring the market portfolio, the 3.2 billion transaction, further deleveraging to strengthen our capital base, and so on and so forth. However, we are looking carefully into the second half of 2016. We believe that we will achieve positive results for 2016 overall, but as we already pointed out a couple of weeks ago, at a low two-digit level, something in this area. So we are carefully optimistic looking into the second half of 2016. So this was my presentation, and if you now have questions, I look forward to provide you with answers if I can.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star 2. For your questions, please press star 1. The first question is coming from Sash Shah from Morgan Stanley. May we have your question?
Yes, a couple of questions from me. Thanks very much for the presentation. The first one is on the free capacity, you seem to have 700 million now left under that. So if loan losses move up any further, or indeed that free capacity ends up being utilized, this is under the regulatory breakdown. Could you give us a sense of the increase in the RWAs you're expecting? The next one is there used to be guidance on the payment of the first coupon around 2020. From running the numbers that you seem to have given in your 2018 guidance, that now seems pretty difficult to achieve. So could you please update us on that? The next question was on the 85 million of other effects in the income line, in the in the operating income line. Could you go through that? And then finally, the guarantee effect. I still don't understand why it was 670 million, given the losses on the shipping portfolio, even if you just look at that piece, was at 625.
Okay. On the first question, the free capacity of the guarantee, it's correct. It's 700 million compared to 1.7 billion end of 2015. Let me answer your question as follows. We are having a focus on our overall CET1 ratio in the area of above 12%. So this is how we basically manage our business, whether it is deriving from the portfolio, which is basically under the guarantee on the one hand side, versus which is not guaranteed. I can't give you the details on the RWA now, but we are expecting a stable CET1 ratio of above 12% over the next couple of months. Also the market transaction will help to further improve the regulatory room under the guarantee. This is what we have announced, that the risk situation in the shipping market will impact this number. Yeah, I think this is what I can tell you on this for the moment.
Sorry, before, if I remember correctly, the RWAs, if the guarantee effect was removed, were going to spike somewhere in the region of like 30 billion. If that's the case, then obviously the CET1 ratio would decline materially, no?
I'm not sure I understand the numbers correctly or.
No, I think in previous presentations, this is a while back, they used to mention the effect of the guarantee and how much it reduced the RWAs. Therefore, removing that effect led to very big spikes in the RWA. If you run the current CET1 numbers off of that, you get to much lower CET1.
As we are pointing out here, the CET1 ratio at the moment is 13.5. What I'm telling you is that we will be above 12% going forward. The regulatory, the room under the guarantee will be impacted by the risk. This is what I can tell you for the moment.
Okay.
On the next question, on the coupons, well, nothing has changed so far. We are planning to pay coupons in 2020 for 2019. As you know, this is not a question of the IFRS results, but on our local GAAP results. Our plans are still that we will pay coupons in 2022 for 2019. Can't see why this should be or could be difficult. However, you should be aware that there might be a new owner of the bank who then has to take the decision by himself. The question on the 85 million. I think you're referring to page 26. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
Well, other effects. What we are presenting here to you are kind of the operating interest income from our net core activities on the one hand side, and on the other hand side, we are presenting you other effects which are deriving from various topics, the sale of securities, some accounting driven, hedge accounting driven effects, and so this, as mentioned here, is derived from the sale of promissory notes as well as hedge accounting. I mean, one could say this is a normal interest management of the bank, you know, which is related to reserves and so on and so far, which we have in our books, and which we have used this year to also improve our capital base, and so on and so forth. I think this is normal for banks like us to have other interest income positions which are not directly primarily related to the core banking activities. Okay.
Thank you.
The next question is coming from Corinne Zanningagam from Autonomous. May we hear your question?
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. It's actually Corinne Cunningham. A few questions here, actually. Just to follow up on the previous one, it sounds like what you were implying then is that the free capacity, and as far as the regulatory free capacity of 700 million, could well be exceeded under the guarantee. Would that have any implications for the ability to redeem regulatory capital, such as the Tier 2 bonds that are coming up for redemption next year? My second question was, you talk about some portfolio reallocation. Could you explain what that is, please? And then thirdly, could you give us any update as to what kind of progress is being made on market sales? I know you said you were intending to sell half of the remainder in the second half of the year, but just wondered if there was anything, maybe you can just give us some colour in terms of appetite for those types of assets. Thank you.
Okay. I think coming back to the 700 million, this is obviously a number which you are interested in. I mean, we see pressure that on this number going forward. It is related to the risk weight under the senior tranche of the portfolio, of the guaranteed portfolio. And it is impacted by the shipping development and US dollar and so on and so forth. And it provides us with further room for negative situation sensitivities in US dollar and the shipping market. And it's part of our kind of capital structure. And we see that going forward, there might be negative impact on this number. However, at the end of the day, we have to look at overall capital ratio. And there, as I mentioned before, we are aiming for 12% plus going forward. Also, the market transaction, for example, will provide us with a relief of guarantee buffer. So it will further improve the guarantee buffer on the other hand side. I don't have the numbers with me, but we will report on how this will develop over time when it comes to market portfolio transaction, further analysis of charter rates and so on and so forth. Which brings me directly to your last question, where we stand with the market portfolio, the 3.2 billion. We are in the process of of looking at a portfolio which is a little bit higher than 3.2 billion. As you know, we have a portfolio chosen which includes shipping assets, which includes real estate assets, which includes energy assets, and so on and so forth. We have engaged an investment bank supporting us in this process. We are currently in the middle of the market sounding phase, so to say, in order to find out appetite for the portfolio we are putting together for the sales process. As I mentioned, we have not decided yet, but we are going to with a large portion, maybe with 100% into the market in the second half of this year. Provided the market sounding which we are performing before that, we are optimistic that we will find a buyers and for realistic prices. The market is very liquid at the moment for real estate assets. You know, there are also, as you are aware, investors who are investing in shipping, and we will see where we are coming there. We are on a good way right now. On the Tier 2, wasn't sure I understood your question there correctly. Can you maybe repeat this?
Yeah. It was just if you exceed the guarantee capacity such that your capital ratio then starts to deteriorate, would that have any implication for your ability to redeem Tier 2 debt?
No.
Okay. Would you mind just explaining, you mentioned that the market transactions would increase the guarantee buffer again. Would you mind just explaining how that would occur, please?
The question here is, you need to compare market prices, which we achieve, to how we have locked in those positions under this regulatory framework. It's very, very technical. It's probably nothing for this call. It's basically taking into consideration loan loss provisions, which we have booked against the market portfolio versus market prices.
Thank you.
You had the last question on the portfolio reallocation.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you read this?
Gosh, I can't remember the page now. I think it was to do with when you were talking about what was core and what was restructuring.
Okay. I mean, what we are, I think I told you that we are at the beginning, that we are in the process of further strengthening the earnings ability of the core bank activities. As you and as we have also presented, there is still a large chunk of non-performing loan exposure in the core bank booked. We are currently in the process of thinking whether it could make sense to transfer this non-performing exposure into the non-core bank in order to have a better split, so to say, between performing and non-performing activities.
Okay.
We will further inform you on this later during the year.
Thank you.
For further questions or comments, please press star one on your touch-tone phone.
If there are currently no more questions, then please feel free to contact investor relations as usual, anytime afterwards.
Yes, we have two more questions, sir. The first one is coming from Michael Teig from UniCredit. May we hear your question, sir?
Yes, thank you for taking my question. I've just a question on the EBA stress test. I know HSH NordBank was not part of it, but was there any testing in the background done by ECB, and what is your expectations, or do you want to comment on it at all? Thank you.
We were taking part in the ECB stress test. We are not communicating results, but it was okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The second question is coming from Matt Breck from Martin. May we hear your question?
Hi, this is Matthew Breckenridge from Marathon.
Hi.
There's a lot. Hi, how are you? There seems to be a lot of questions about this 700 million buffer. And I guess, can you just distill it down? Do you have concerns that if you go through the 700 million, that your risk-weighted assets will increase to a point where the regulators take notice, or that you find it difficult to make subordinated payments, including lower Tier 2s, when they come due?
Can you repeat the last sentence?
Yeah, the last part is, so the questions on the call seem to focus on this 700 million buffer.
Yes.
And you're giving guidance, it seems, that there's a bunch of puts and takes going forward that you don't seem to be overly concerned about the 700 million, given that there's some asset sales on the horizon. And so my question is, given all the puts and takes and given your outlook right now, do you envision it being a problem where your risk-weighted assets spike materially if you go through the buffer? And then a follow-on question to that is, do you have concern if that does occur or if it does not, your ability to the regulator step in and your ability to repay lower Tier 2s when they come due and payable in 17?
Tier 2? Okay. Okay. I mean, you're right. I mean, we're discussing this now for the third time. What I'm telling you is that this risk buffer is under pressure. Okay? But there are positives and there are negatives. And I mean, as we have communicated, that there is a risk that this risk buffer, which is a very specific risk buffer, which no other bank has, so to say, will disappear. So this is the risk, and this is what we are communicating because we are careful people. What we are looking at is the overall capital ratio. And even if RWA will increase due to the fact that the risk buffer will shrink, we are steering our business at a CET1 ratio above 12%. And as I mentioned before, we do not see the situation at the moment that we will go below that.
Okay.
Our aim is to steer our business at above 12%. And I think we are also pointing out in our presentation on page 36 that the regulatory early warning threshold is currently at 10%. So we feel relatively comfortable that everything is in line with the regulator.
Okay, so as a kind of a follow-up question to that, if perchance you exceed the risk buffer, so the 700 goes completely is eroded, and let's just say it's some number in the, you know, overdrawn or however you want to characterize it, so that you're 100 million or 200 million above the risk buffer. Is there some sort of retroactive magic bullet that happens that results in a cascading effect of negative outcomes for the portfolio that's being guaranteed and or your risk-weighted assets, or does it just become a one-for-one on everything above the risk buffer?
If the risk buffer disappeared, we have RWA developments, which are impacting the CET1 ratio, obviously.
Yeah, I get that. My question is, so the risk buffer is there to protect a portfolio. That portfolio has a certain advantaged risk-weighted asset because of the guarantee. So if you go through this $700 million, will all of the risk-weighted assets on the portfolio all of a sudden jump, or will they only jump proportionally to the amount through which you've exceeded the free capacity? So, for instance, the free capacity goes from 700, you know, in your favor to 100 out of your favor. Does the remaining portfolio, is there all of a sudden a complete breakdown of the advantage that you get from the risk shield such that the risk-weighted assets will spike materially all?
No, it's not that, like that. I mean, you still have coverage. You still have coverage, but your RWA will increase.
Okay, so your RWA just increases one-for-one with everything that exceeds the free capacity.
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right, so there's not like a catastrophic event that occurs as a result.
It's so not a catastrophic event.
Right, okay. That seems to be the concern on the call. So just in plain language, there's no like triggering event that occurs as a result.
Correct.
Thank you.
We have no further questions for the moment.
Okay, as mentioned before, if additional questions come up, please don't hesitate to contact Investor Relations. With that, then, I would like to close that call. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your time and wish you all a lovely weekend. Thank you. Goodbye.
We want to thank Mr. Löwe and all the participants of this conference. Thank you and goodbye.